I am your host, William Grant. I have been running a solar company here in Peoria for 6 years, and we have helped thousands of people go solar. I've been in the industry for going on 12 years now.
My name is Austin Baer. I'm your co-host here at the Solar Power Hour. I'm your local solar consultant here from Peoria. I've been in this industry for going on about 5 years. I've had the pleasure of helping a little over 400 families go solar here in the local community. Welcome back, everyone. We've got another installment of the Solar Power Hour here. I am Austin Baer, and I've got my formidable co-host with me, William Grant. Thank you again for tuning in. We've got some very exciting stuff to talk about, the good, the bad, and ugly, as per usual. It's ever-changing in the solar industry. So again, thank you for lending us your ears, your time, and you'll be very happy for tuning in this week.
Absolutely. So probably should start on the national level first. You think? Right. Yeah, so there's been some news coming out recently with the House bill. They got passed the beautiful bill, I think is what it's called, and it has a lot to do with the tax credits for solar. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, what it means, how it's going to affect different parts of the industry. But first and also my opinions on it and where I think it might get negotiated in a different way with the Senate. Beyond that, Austin, I guess, how is that affecting you so far?
Obviously there's always a sense of urgency in our industry. That's nothing new. There's always a million reasons as to why it makes more sense to do this, you know, last year or the year before, and the sooner the better. There's always going to be a lot of controversy and, we'll say like hearsay with this, industry as well. And so I'll always, you know, really dial in on, that's why having the most recent information is always the most valuable. I've seen a huge upswing in people, really knowing that the incentives, there is a finish line to them, again, on the national level, whenever, the end of 2025 gets thrown around, that puts a very, very quick timeline on the year. And obviously that's nothing set in stone. We got to go through the Senate and whatnot. And that's just, you know, one small stepping stone. But what I've seen is just a major uptick in urgency. I think people are resonating with the idea. Solar is obviously the healthier alternative. And obviously, as we have more and more installations go in, people are a lot more, just receptive to the fact that it is an alternative that can be taken advantage of. The incentives for batteries right now have obviously made, just the presentations and conversations a lot more digestible. And we'll kind of touch on the rates and what Ameren's got going on as well, just because that's, just going to be probably one of the few more straws that breaks this camel's back for people looking into it. But just from my perspective and what I'm seeing in homes, obviously Ameren rates are still going up and the incentives are going away. And so it's one of those things that, take advantage of it while it's here. And again, I don't need to be over exemplary with that, but the last 5-6 years of incentives that we've been able to proceed to people have only been that much more valuable. And so there is going to be a day when they're not here, and solar is still going to be a better alternative and not necessarily as subsidized.
Sure. So just to explain all the different things, it's going to be a lot, and it's going to be earful, a little bit technical, but there are several different parts of our industry that are being affected by this if the bill passes the Senate as it sits right now, which again, a lot of this is speculation on my behalf and my own personal opinion. Don't fault me for thinking for myself, but let's start with us first. So essentially the way it works right now is the tax credit is supposed to go until 2032. And with this bill, if it passes, then you would have to be installed with solar before the end of the year to get that 30% tax credit. So there is a huge sense of urgency there. Another way people go solar is through leasing or power purchase agreements, which if you've been watching the podcast for any period of time, that's not something we believe in or do. And this is, again, my own opinion of it. And the reason why the federal government is really against it is the sellability of that tax credit. So what these companies are doing is getting all these tax credits from people and selling them off. Well, if you're brokering something and you're selling it off, you're not selling that 30% tax credit for 28% to somebody or 26%, and then they're selling it again. And in my opinion, it's like you're squandering away people's tax dollars when a good portion of the people actually can benefit from that tax credit and they could actually use their own taxable liability to take care of it instead of giving it to a company. And so if the bill passes as it sits right now, it would be 60 days. So you'd have to be installed within 60 days, or the install company would have to get you done in 60 days to be able to sell that tax credit.
And what does that mean?
It means that a lot of leasing and power purchase companies are shaking in their boots right now and not very pleased with themselves or the federal government. And then the other thing is refundability of a tax credit. So for nonprofits, that's also on the table to get removed. And then the other thing is just that it's not only renewable energy or clean energy or solar or whatever you want to call it. At the end of the day, we're all numbers and education oriented here. But it also affects hydro and nuclear and coal, all these other things that we do to produce power, take advantage of the tax credit, as well as manufacturing facilities. So we're in the office meeting talking about a manufacturing facility that just pulled out and shut down their shop.
Roughly 300 employees, give or take.
Yeah, 300 people without a job now, just because of the fear of the tax credit going away. Now, there are a lot of positives, at least for us, not necessarily for the country as a whole on this standpoint. When you're thinking about a tax credit going away or not having sellability, it means the competition has to get better. We do our installs and our process a very certain way, but this will actually uplift the entire industry, making it more challenging for people to get someone to sign up for solar, and honestly is a good thing. Same thing, the reason why we love Illinois, it is very scrupulous process to be accepted to install solar or sell solar here. And at the end of the day, the more challenging it is, the better the company has to be and the better they have to show up for people. And so if we all go to an ownership method of going solar, that would not be the worst thing in the world, in my opinion.
And I mean, Illinois has its checklist as well. There's online databases and complaint forums where, there are multiple companies that are no longer allowed to install or sell in Illinois. And so obviously the ones are naturally going to weed themselves out, which is kind of we've seen time and time over again. It's not anything surprising, but it is one of those things that the more of those companies redline themselves, the more companies that we have to keep and uphold. But
Yep. So let's talk about, man, there's so much to talk about today. So I hope you guys are strapped in. So when you're looking at the problem with leasing and power purchase agreements and those companies going out of business, and for those of you who already have listened to the podcast, you know that we run Oasis Electric, our install arm of the company, and we also do solar service for other people. Now, the problem is if these companies go out of business that own these leases or sold someone a lease, if they go out of business because they're not financially stable anymore because they were dependent on that tax credit, the concern is that the homeowner doesn't own that system. I can't go service a leased system. They don't own it. If you don't own your system, I can't touch it. I don't have permission to touch it. I can't fix anything about it. So if these leasing companies go out of business, I can't even go service your equipment. And that's the concern. And we've been trying to warn people about this for years and years and years about the benefits and disadvantages of doing ownership, right? Again, we have 30-year warranties. It's all kind of lined out. But my biggest concern is that there's already a ton of stranded customers, but there's going to be more stranded customers because these leasing companies are going to go out of business and they don't actually own the system. So then imagine the bank's not going to really care if you have a $200 lease payment and your system's not working and you have a $200 power bill. And we're going to talk a little bit about power bills here in the future. But yeah, I mean, that's a concern.
Just to again go off the point of concern, not gonna specifically mention any names, but a gentleman I just signed up last week had signed with another company that he was going to lease with, and after going through the nitty-gritty of the paperwork and documentation, there was red flags left and right. And one of the biggest things that I saw after reviewing it was the gray area that they intentionally left on the equipment being used. And all that does is set yourself up in your home for, I would say just major complications later on down the road. And one of the biggest consistencies that we have with Oasis Electric is the equipment that we use. Everything's itemized. I can tell you specifically what panels, inverters from start to finish that we're using and what we're going to be able to have later on down the road. And so for these companies that are A, just kind of putting themselves into gray area for what they can use, all it's doing is a major disservice to these homeowners whenever their equipment might not be as easily accessible 10 or hell, even quicker, 5 years down the road. You never know. And so it's just interesting whenever you start getting into the fine print of what their, I'll say our competitors look like, what they're willing to do. It is again, deliberately a night and day difference in terms of from start to finish, their whole process. And it comes down to, the fine print.
Absolutely. And some of the other things that are happening as far as the bill goes and the concern that there is, and we're going to talk about the Ameren rates going up. Most people who live here in central Illinois and have Ameren have seen the paperwork that we're about to talk about. But at the end of the day, we are in a deficit of power. We keep building these manufacturing facilities. We keep putting electric cars on the road. The electrification of the country is kind of wild, right? All these data centers. So what's happening is there's such an increase in consumption.
Every time you chat GPT a question, it consumes like three or four times more power. It might have been 10 times more than just
Then a Google
Googling it.
search, yep.
Correct. every single one of those. And again, you got to think on a massive national scale, the AI data centers, didn't mean to interrupt you there, but
No, you're
literally
fine.
every single little thing that we do. And again, if it were multiplying our usage by tenfold just by simply using ChatGPT as a search engine, which it is becoming the dominant engine now for answering questions. So, you know, anything of that for a multiplier is just going to have such a rampant impact on our demand here.
Right. And even just a little bit of a random thing. I mean, Google now, when you Google something, it does run AI. It's not even asking you if you want to do a regular Google search. It runs the AI to figure out what the easiest answer is for you. And so now your Google searches are now.
I answered one of my customer's questions in real time this morning because of an AI answer. He was asking between some different rate policies, and I quite literally while on the phone with him was able to type it in, and it gave me a full description in real time. And it, again, it felt a little like cheating, but it was awesome to be able to have access. But that costs, I mean, with everything, there's going to be an equilibrium to be able to have that type of power, generate that type of information in real time. It's not for free. And so, you know, there's a, you know, give and take aspect with all this. And so all the demand that we're putting onto the grid, there is a cost aspect financially and in the long run, and that power has to come from somewhere. And so, you know, the federal funding, it's a double-edged sword because I obviously, you know, they're going into it with good intent, but to put a, you know, kind of a halt on the leading format for, you know, energy production right now. We were just talking about how Q1 solar ended up leading solar and renewable ended up surpassing coal and our other energy sectors for Q1 of 2025. And so, you know, that's a massive give and take to have this much push for renewable and solar energy, but then to take that amount of federal funding back. They just, you know, there's a bit of regression there that I don't necessarily think that we're going to be willing to take on. And so, you know, it's all give and take again for the third time here with the legislation. And so we'll see how the chips truly fall. But I think that they'll recognize the severity and the impact that that would truly have. And I don't think that we're going to be able to get rid of that. Fingers crossed.
Absolutely. All right, Naeem, we'll talk a little bit about that in a second as well. What did I want to say? Oh, yeah, just the electrification of everything and then the increased demand of power and then the instability of power as well. I think solar is here to stay. And even if there's a lack of a tax credit and the power rates go up to compensate for this, but one of the things that we know is true is that solar is the quickest and cheapest implementation of power per watt that you can have. It takes so much money and lobbying and politics and permits and everything else to set up like a coal plant or a nuclear station or a hydro center, like you, or a hydro station. You have to have a, you know, a river for that too. And you have to be able to dam something. So at the end of the day, solar is here to stay. The concern shouldn't be that if I don't go solar this year, then I can't go solar forever. That's not going to be true. Should you go solar this year, if all the numbers make sense, yes, absolutely, you should go solar. But at the end of the day, I think that the federal government, from what I'm hearing from the different associations I'm a part of and the different Zoom calls and things, it seems like the homeowner tax credit, that 30%, that they were actually able to get back, seems to be promising that they're going to negotiate that for a longer term than just this end of this year. It seems that the sellability of the tax credit for like people that lease and power purchase agreements, that is, seems to be a non-starter for a lot of government people. And I understand why. The only disappointing thing would be is if we lost the refundability of the tax credit for nonprofits. That was such a cool thing because, you know, it's been a struggle for ours for the first 4 years we were in business. It's like, okay, we really want to help these churches out. We really want to help these nonprofit places out, but they don't have any taxable liability. So to be able to be a nonprofit and get the tax credit back and as a refund is pretty cool. And again, it's for a nonprofit, right? It's not like... It's for the right reasons.
Correct. I was going to say, it's pretty hard to contest or be in opposition to get, you know, it's for the kids, man. No. Absolutely.
And then, yeah, I mean, just if you run a nonprofit and you're listening to this, it's, you know, the time is now. There's a good chance that the refundability of the tax credit goes away very soon. And we want to make sure that if you're interested or curious at all, we get you the right number so you can figure out if it's a good fit for your 501c3.
Nope, absolutely. And again, those are definitely the projects. I've got one in Washington, and then there's a church about an hour away. And, you know, there's a different magnitude with that on a residential level. Obviously, those projects are fun, but, you know, commercial is a whole different level. I do believe, you know, not to go too deep in the weeds, but since we're supposed to be information based, the federal tax credit, if I'm not mistaken, for commercial is extended for a little bit of time. I believe it's until 2028. In terms of when they would be extending the 30%. So for residential, if that were to go a little bit sooner, that's worth it. But
You're that, would you? Sorry,
hold on,
quick
let me
interruption.
see if the laptop is. Sorry about that
Yeah,
technical
sorry.
difficulties.
We just don't want to lose the audio. That's a nightmare when
Looked like our
that
laptop went out. We've had that happen
happens.
before. Sorry. Your face is going to be awesome to look at that
It's
replay. That's going to be
like
hilarious.
straight fear.
Oh my gosh. But sorry. So just to recap on that point. So for the residential, the federal tax credit might be shortened, obviously not till the 2032, but the proposed bill shows that the commercial would still remain until 2028. So again, anyone with commercial projects, small businesses, or large businesses, again, it's definitely still viable, but please take advantage of that while it's still here.
Yeah, and a couple things. I mean, again, we could talk about this honestly forever. I mean, I've been in so many Zoom calls about this recently, and I
Oh,
just want to
don't
get
do that.
the spill out. Good luck on that one, buddy. Yeah, make sure we cut some shorts out of this. Your face only.
We're having fun here today.
Austin just spilled water on himself. Now
Wow.
you got me. Stop it. All right, at least we're having fun. Yeah, I think that the House got away with this, and the Senate's going to put a different spin on it. There's already been huge backlash. I mean, the amount of publicly traded solar companies that have gone down dramatically, the amount of jobs that are at stake, the amount of factories that are at stake. And it's not a red or a blue thing at the end of the day. If we're providing good paying jobs to people in any state, that's a wonderful thing. And it doesn't need to be about green or blue. And I get the idea of putting all this crap into one bill, which is essentially what they did, is 450 pages of a bunch of different stuff, and having solar to be an arguing point. But it is, I mean, if I have a factory and have foreign investment to say, hey, I am pulling out of the US already before even thing gets even approved by the Senate, that's sad. That's a lot of people losing their jobs. 300 good paying jobs gone.
With one factory. And so, no, I think once you take that on a mass level, there'll be enough pushback. And I think you're right. They've tried packing a lot into one, bill there to be proposed. And obviously, we won't know until we know. But ideally, we'll be okay one way or the other. Again, this is not a doomsday conversation. If there's
Absolutely.
one thing we've learned from the solar industry, that there's always a, the resilient will push through and will persevere. And a lot of companies obviously won't. I do like the fact that that's definitely us to the the grittiest aspect possible, is it does not matter what our company gets thrown or what the legislation entails, is that we will withstand. And I think that there's a lot of things that we can look forward to segueing into the future. Again, if worst case scenario, let's say the federal tax credit did go away again, Ameren's rates aren't doing any favors for anyone, and we can talk on that a little bit more specifically here in a second. But Ameren's rates are going to be increasing as of 48 hours ago, give or take. And so
Absolutely.
We'll get into the specifics on that here in a second. But then also, just to kind of piggyback off of the Illinois Shines program, there's the potential that that can fluctuate in order to help compensate if the federal tax credit were to go away as well. And so you do have all these things that are still, obviously Ameren has their new rebates as well, which are, those are both phenomenal, especially for people that are wanting to keep themselves online as the demand on this grid becomes more and more. And, rolling brownouts and scheduled, or I guess unscheduled blackouts might come later down on the future. And so, you have all these things like constructing to, the whole project making sense, but it's more so, again, specifically while the incentives are around. And if the federal tax credit were to bounce or go away, there is ways that it would still be compensated. And, at the end of the day, I know that people are always curious about the dollars and cents. Solar is always going to make more sense because it makes dollars. Hey, there's a good one.
Yeah, and some of the concerns that people have is because of the tax credit and going away that these companies might go out of business and there might not be there someone there to service. Again, the whole back end of the company is built upon service, not only of our equipment but everyone's equipment. So if that is ever going to be a concern, you can have that for other companies, but it's not going to affect us in the same way because of the way our company is structured. And that was something I was hearing earlier today. It's like, oh, I don't want to sit down for an appointment or a job interview because I'm scared of what's going to happen with the solar industry. Well, in the end of the day, we're consuming way too much power. We need to put solar on the grid to compensate for that power. Now, the one other thing that's going to happen is, A, your power rates are going up all across the country, and B, the cost of this is going to go crazy. If we are now tariffing all these different countries and the tariffs are hitting those countries, that's increasing your cost of goods for solar. And then on top of that, if we're not manufacturing them here stateside because there's no credit available to the manufacturing facilities and the people that are consuming those manufactured US manufactured goods, the cost of solar is going to go up. Supply and demand, basic economics. If there's only a few different suppliers around the world who get away with lower tariffs, who do you think people are going to want to buy from? And what happens when that happens? Cost of goods go up. So please keep that in mind. that, you know, if you're thinking about going solar, now is always the best time because you can take advantage of everything that's still there and much more, and you're avoiding extra cost as this goes. God knows who knows where it's going to go. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it on that. Just to keep in mind that, again, not a doomsday conversation.
Right.
It's just saying, hey, this is the reality of the situation. This is what could happen. For all you who know politics, it's got to go through the Senate. Senate's going to argue about it, and then it's got to go to the president. So there's still hope. There's still a lot of people lobbying for a better solution. I mean, I don't think anyone in the industry is like, hey, we have to have it until 2032. I think it's more so just like, let's, you know, have a reasonable timeline. If you're promising something till 2032 and now you're like, hey, bye forever.
Right.
Like that's
it's
a
pretty
big leap.
drastic. Correct. And you just said extra costs, and I know we were kind of hinting at it before, but anyone that doesn't want to take my word for it, feel free to pull out your phone and just Google it. But you could type in Ameren summer rate increases, and again, if this is your first time hearing it, then thank you again for listening. But I'm also sorry that this is your first time hearing it. But there is a 50% rate increase that was initiated. We're recording this as of the 2nd of this month, and it went into effect as of yesterday. So by the time people are actually hearing this, it might be 2 or 3 days into the future. But there is a 50% rate increase on the supply side of everything. And that's going to be one of those things that, people, we keep talking about it, and people know that the rate increases are in motion, but until they actually open up their bill or see that deposit coming out of their account, I don't think that the reality really kicks in. And so just know that, we're at the very height of summer. Everyone's AC is about to be kicking on. And, this is where those surprise $500, $600, $700 bills hit. And so again, whenever that does happen, obviously, if you're already listening to this, we'd hope that you'd be informed enough to give us a ring. But it is one of those things that, we type, I'm sorry, we don't talk about the rate increases in hypotheticals. We do know that they're always coming, but it's one thing to know that it's coming in the future versus,
50%
yeah,
right
it's the
now.
reckoning of we just had the increase happen within the last 24 hours of us recording this. And so, it's the inevitability of the future. It's why solar only continues to make more sense. And, the numbers do not lie. And so it's one of those things where it's 50% now, but who's not to say that it doesn't go up from that point in another 6 months? And that's just the inevitability of it.
So a couple different things on that. Just explaining how your power bill works and what happens. So most of the cities around Central Illinois just got a new aggregation contract done up for the utility. So that means that the city is opting you in for a supply. On that note, if you already have solar, please by all means opt out of that new supplier. You want Ameren to keep track of your net metering credit. So that's just a FYI for anybody that has solar, regardless if you're with our company or not, you want to opt out of different programs when the city's opting for your power supplier. So that went up by 25% in some areas just on the supply side. Now, Ameren's side also went up on the delivery and with the new taxes and fees at the bottom of your bill. If you've ever looked down at your bill, if you take a bill from 2022 and you look at it to now, there's like added fees and taxes for all these programs that we're paying into to do things like solar and updating the grid and compensating for data centers and things. And Ameren's reason why is because there's so much demand and consumption this year. So they needed to increase the rates because, again, economics, if you're increasing the cost of power, what are you likely to do if you can't afford it? You're going to stop using as much power. And that's the idea with solar is that you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about turning your AC up or down to compensate for cost. You don't have to worry about, your kids leaving the lights on for a few extra seconds or how long's the door been open. It like gives you that peace of mind, that reassurance that you can live your life independently without stressing about a power bill. And so around 50%, anywhere from 30 to 50% is what we're seeing currently. And people, it's going to take some time to be able to feel that, right? So just take our word for it, Google it, look at your home field or the new contracts that the city sent out. Take a look at the increase. It's there. It's very dangerous for people too, because we talk a lot about average power bills in our industry, like an average $200 power bill is now a $300 power bill. But when a 50% rate increase happens, the concern is that your high summer bill, who was already $500, is now $750. Or if you have geothermal and your high winter bill is $800, now you're looking at a $1,200 bill. And that is a huge cost of increase, and it doesn't even compare to cost of employment rate raises, right? So you're not getting paid this much more, but damn if your power isn't going that
If
high.
only there was another state that we talked about all the time that went through something so similar.
What state
Oh my
was
gosh. On the West Coast, 3 to 4 times higher power. Oh, California, Jesus. Yeah, no,
that?
the state that passed all the same legislation our state did, only they decided to beat us by about 10 years to the punch.
Right.
And guys, I mean, this is something that we've discussed on multiple episodes or on multiple occasions, but it is very easy to look at this as a history repeats itself type aspect and or type situation. And our state's not the first one to guinea pig this. New Jersey's had solar well before us. You've got Utah, Arizona, California, and the inevitability is obviously is there's more demand on the grid. This legislation pushes for more solar. That's what we're heading towards in the middle right now. And so, you know, if you zoom out, it's easy to say like, oh, we're heading towards an energy crisis. No, we're in the middle of it right now. We're quite literally in the middle of it.
Absolutely.
Obviously, you know, it's a little bit easier to take it day by day, but whenever you wake up and you get the news that your power rates just went up 50% over the summer, there's not really a whole lot you can do about that. And so that is, again, why the whole idea of owning your power and having the peace of mind and having the insurance against inflation is right. always going to make more sense in the long run, especially as opposed to renting your power, not having control over your rate increases. And that's, again, the whole difference is you walk outside and you hear your neighbor complaining about their rate or their power bill just went up 30, 40, 50%. And then you look on your roof and you're like, oh, well, the sun came up today. It looks like I'm okay. And yeah. that's the whole difference.
Yeah. And there's so many things on that as well. It's like, you know, I've been doing this for 6 years here. I have seen the power rates go up by 3 times. And I remember 5 years ago telling people within the next 5 years, your power rates will be 3 times higher.
Hmm.
And here we are, freaking 3 times higher.
I hate to be right.
It's just bad for people, right? So one of the things we saw in Nevada when we were out there starting the company up in its original inception, there are so many people that I met who have been displaced from California because their power rates have gotten higher than their mortgage ever was.
Mm.
And unfortunately, that's where we are now. You know, my place, if I sometimes have a $1,000 power bill in the summer and you know now it's $1,500, my mortgage is almost there. So it's like, okay. And it's getting to that point where people are going to be displaced from their homes or going to have to make some really challenging decisions as far as power cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, what's the other thing that we keep doing? Electric vehicles. So now everybody's expected to get these electric vehicles, and now you're just drawing more power at a higher cost. And, you know, it's just like this never-ending
Chicago
cycle.
Trying to be an AI hub for data right. centers. And so, you know, I don't know if anyone's looked at a map recently, but Chicago is only a hop, skip, and a step away. And unfortunately, whatever they do does have an impact on the rest of our state, for better or worse. And so, you know, you can only ask for so many factors before it really starts to make sense that, you know, solar is an inevitability. And, you know, we can either help facilitate it with, you know, the incentives, or we can try and draw some of them back, and then hopefully the other incentives compensate. But at the end of the day, you know, all roads are pointing to owning your own energy and having any sort of security is always going to be better than leaving yourself out there stranded. And, you know, at the end of the day, there's a lot of people that we can't help just because of their setups, but that doesn't mean that there aren't equally, if not just as many people out there that at least need this information. And that's, you know, going back to California, when we were out there, the one, I guess, example that really sticks out is I spoke with a lady that she had multiple kids. It was just her though, and her power bills were 4 digits every month between her and her 3 kids. She was a nurse. And so, I mean, she did fine, but the idea that she was getting a power bill that was higher than her monthly mortgage out there, it just doesn't financially add up. And so it does make sense as to why you see this exodus of people moving out of a state
right.
whenever, you know, just on the back end of things, living just isn't, you can't live, I guess, is really ultimately where we're at. And so it's not like we're going to wake up tomorrow and have 4-digit power bills. Some people already have it, I guess, but it is, again, I'll say inevitably, that is the road that we're heading down right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the whole idea with the income-based capitalization approach too with appraisals, you know, that increase does help your house value as far as solar goes. So you're now getting batteries and solar, and you know, with the cost of power going up by 50%, you're now offsetting more power per year, more cost per year. Mm-hmm. Avoidance cost is what we like to say. And so that also increases the sellability of your house, right? Because let's say you do need to downsize or you do need to move or whatever. What would you rather have, a house that has a $1,000 power bill or a house that you're paying $10,000 or $15,000 more for that has backup generation and a spread over 30-year mortgage and it doesn't have a $1,000 power bill every month? Probably going to pick the house with solar on it. And that's what happens a lot in California, and people really enjoy it. New Jersey as well. You know, they see it, they get the return, it becomes common.
And not just having solar, yeah. but, you know, also having solar that's backed by a local installation company, having a 30-year warranty, and having a system that's actually installed properly. And again, that's all the bells and whistles that come with our systems. But, you know, we preach it because it's true. And that's where a lot of the value comes into play. It's not hard to drive through a neighborhood and see a system that wasn't installed, you know, as aesthetically as it could be, or, you know, that was done properly. But again, that's where you'll see a lot of the differences.
Absolutely. And then, yeah, let's talk about batteries a little bit. So there's been a couple of things that have happened recently that are a little concerning. So we just got hit, or we're getting hit currently. I'm not exactly sure how all that works, but with the geomagnetic storm from the solar flares, that was threatening to shut down parts of the power grid and, damage our power grid as it is. And obviously, I don't know if we have figured out that it's hurt anything or not, but with just stories like that becoming more common, whether it be solar flares or wildfires in Canada right now, or big storms,
Just the
tornadoes,
unpredictability of
Kentucky,
nature in general.
ice storms. So you're getting killed by nature right now. And what is the best way to back yourself up?
Batteries.
Power. Right. So either generators or batteries. But right now you're getting batteries at such affordable cost. It does not make sense not to go solar. It doesn't make sense not to get a battery, because you're just getting all these benefits and very little risk.
Just to reiterate, with the way that the incentives are structured right now, you can get two whole home backup batteries for less than the cost of a backup generator. That's installed, warrantied out, the whole kit and caboodle, but the amount of peace of mind that that can add to a system is absolutely ridiculous. And again, it for your out-of-pocket cost and for the longevity and what you're going to get out of that value-wise, it I always like to kind of ask people, when's the last time you had the government subsidize 70% of any of the projects you've ever done at your house? And I have yet to get an answer that is easier than never. And so again, it's one of those things where it doesn't make sense, it's okay, but for the people it does make sense for, the worst disservice I feel like we could do to our community is not show people their numbers. And that's, it only comes down to people being open-minded. But I've never had anyone upset with me for showing them something that's going to save them an insane amount of money, add value to their house. And that's another thing too, guys. I mean, we've said it before, but you don't have to be in your home forever in order for this to make sense. As long as you're not opposed to making more money whenever you go to sell, solar can absolutely be a great fit for you. Obviously, again, the aesthetics and the cleanliness of our system, but think about that as a proposition for one of our new homeowners coming in. Again, we'll already kind of said this, but if one house has its own backup and it's able to stay online if their grid were to go down, and it has a drastically reduced power bill every month, and the house next door is spending $800 a month to consume the same amount of power, great. Which house naturally has a little bit more curb appeal? I know which one 99.9% of the time Witten Center takes the cake.
Absolutely. Yeah, so at the end of the day, with power rates going up by 50% or around 50%, obviously that number can be varying based on your supplier and your like area and all this other stuff. But power rates going up by 50%, tax credit, even if the tax credit goes away, that's still a 20% add proposition, or a good proposition for us, I guess, to talk to someone about solar. I could have worded that better. But at the end of the day, it's not a doomsday conversation that we're having now. It's just putting it all out there on the table.
Right.
The future looks very bright for solar. I think people are understanding it daily, or more daily, that solar's here to stay and that it is a positive thing and that we need it. So that helps us out a ton. But yeah, just go solar. If you can, at least get some numbers, because this is getting ridiculous. And as this gets to worse and worse, your power rates are going to go up again in the fall. They're gonna argue for power rates for the next year in January. It's a never-ending cycle. Like, between inflation and power bills and all this other stuff, why even put yourself in a position where you're a victim of something that's gonna ever increase when there's a solution right there in front of you?
The sun is the most abundant energy source known to mankind. And so this isn't meant to be, a silly proposition, but why would you not take advantage of that if it shows up literally all day, every day? And, again, it is literally the most consistent energy source that we have. And it's just fun whenever you think about that in theory and go, okay, well, it's not going anywhere and power rates are. So might as well use one rather than the other.
And if you run a business out there, I mean, with the depreciation in your tax bracket, you can get a return on investment that's like under a year and a half, 2 years, depending on the size, location, what everything looks like. So businesses get a golden deal on this thing. It's called solar, and you should be looking into it if you run a business, a nonprofit, before the refundability of the tax credit goes away. If you're just a homeowner and you're concerned about your power rates, our phone has already been ringing quite a bit more over the last few days as people have seen that their power rates have gone up so drastically. And it's not going to end soon, unfortunately, but we do have a solution for you. We can show you numbers, we can show you the benefits. And if you trust us and take the step with us, we will help you out throughout the next 30 years to come on the service side. Because again, solar needs serviced. You're never going to have a system that works flawlessly for 30 years. It just does not happen that way. So that's what we're there for. That's what the warranties are there for, to cover our people. And if you're out there and you need help, as long as you haven't leased the system, we can help you. Or if you have somebody else that needs our help, please give them our contact information. We're there for the community.
Absolutely. I feel like we covered a good amount today so far.
Yeah.
Right on, right on. Well, guys, it's hot outside, so everyone obviously enjoy the heat as it's on the forefront. Keep the AC running. Obviously, not too much though with those power rate increases. Or, if you're tired of worrying about that Ameren bill, give us a call. But again, we do really appreciate you guys tuning in with us on this episode, an installment of the Solar Power Hour. We will catch you guys on the next one.
Thank you so much.